Now, the specific focus of the discourse here is, for me, fundamental, and I see certain trends in more contemporary forms of nation building, which are also made in the name of humanity. However, there's a conflation increasingly between two concepts, humanitarianism and human rights, such that their genealogies are becoming merged. What I do is to try to disentangle them in order to show to what extent the Armenian case may be paradigmatic in the context of the interwar, and drawing broader implications, theoretical and methodological, for the discipline of international law and how they had to grapple with the nationalist, quote-unquote, problem in the interwar. So what I do, in essence, is to build my reasoning and methodology on mostly discourse analysis and try to tie that into studies of governmentality, drawing on Foucault, and showing how these discursive moves that are made by international lawyers at the end of the 19th century, but also in the interwar period, as well as delegates within the League of Nations, have been tied to broader projects of population management. The context that is most familiar, as someone like George Agamben would say, the camp, the refugee, the resettlement, as being practices of governance or governmentality, are obviously a paradigmatic, but what I argue is that it is only in the context of the interwar period that humanity and population politics have been institutionalized in a framework where a forum such as the League of Nations Assembly is used to air claims and complaints about founding nations on new political bases. So in other words, humanity becomes a vector of justice and rights only in a very remote form. The main point that I tried to make by looking at two case studies in the paper, one looking at how international lawyers specifically were writing about the context of managing the Armenian question, which was mostly about taming nationalist aspirations of Armenians in the Near East under Ottoman rule, how they justified practices of humanitarian intervention through the deployment of this kind of discourse. Humanity was first mobilized in that context, not so much as a way to ground specific practices of nation building, because humanitarian interventions at the end of the 19th century were not, I claim, geared towards establishing statehood or nationhood, but rather to manage a problem within the boundaries of an existing empire. But what I do is I try to draw a genealogy and to draw continuity between the particular narrative and discourse that was used in the context of those writings and debates on humanitarian intervention at the end of the 19th century with arguments in the context of the League of Nations between the two wars about statehood and nation building. And although I can't claim that I have looked at across the board at all the instances of claims for independent statehood, for example, in the context of the Georgians or the Finns and so on, I think that the Armenian case stands to me out as being paradigmatic because of the frequency of the invocations of humanity as a discourse, as opposed to rights and justice. If there were any references to rights, they were to national rights, where the unit of, or the object, or the right bearer was the nation, and not so much the individual. Now, international lawyers who were, who had affiliations and were sympathetic to the Armenian cause were writing about the specific way in which the Armenian case had to be managed as a problem through the perspective of using a highly differentiated discourse of humanity, which informed their own conceptions of human suffering. Now, the idea of human suffering could not be disentangled from broader understandings of nation, race, and civilization. So I claim, the same way that Carolyn does, that there is something fundamental about a cultural matrix. I would use this term to describe the way in which human suffering would tie to these very indeterminate and highly volatile concepts that were informing both the delegates and international lawyers in the context of the interwar. So the first case study is 19th century discourse on humanitarian intervention. What I draw from that is an attempt to show how power is deployed against specific populations in order to manage them and paint them. This understanding, and I won't dwell on this because I have a little time left, I claim has raised specific set of questions about the way in which these debates have taken place in the context of the interwar. Armenian statehood was conceived as being a matter of suffering, human suffering, but not exclusively, because it also depended on broader concepts of self-determination, statehood, and the way in which the minority rights regime and the mandate system were actually intersecting in the context of this specific case, which is the Armenians. What I draw from that, and I will conclude in 2 minutes hopefully, is that the broader discourse of humanity, which was informing these different practices and politics of population management, came about also in an institutionalized form, which was not necessarily tied to questions of what is the status of the Armenians in the post-genocide era. So the refugee context stands to me to be important as far as the humanitarian work of the League goes, but not specifically about the forms of deployment of humanity as a concept that was tied with broader questions of population governance and management. So the second case study is about statehood and the failed abortive attempts of Armenians to establish their own state within the context of the League. I conclude the paper by drawing attention to both historians and international lawyers of the importance to connect this specific case in a broader genealogy of humanitarianism and to show how today there are connections made with human rights. And to conclude, and this is in the paper, international lawyers who were concerned about the fate of Armenians were mostly writing from the perspective of human suffering and empathy in the context of nationalities principle and the protection of minority rights shifted at some point to advocating for fundamental individual rights as being the way to go because of the past atrocities and the failure of international law to remedy the situation. However, my claim is that what these international lawyers were doing is in a way masking their own narrative about the ambivalence of human suffering and the way that was tied with management of populations and broader political questions about statehood, and disentangling that from the idea of the individual as being the sole rights bearer in the context of human rights. And I think the history of state building and population management is important to understand also how human rights become today a tool of colonial and imperial projects. Thank you.